Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
Football on off the ball.
When Ireland get a 1-0 against England, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's a genius.
Well, I take a 1-0 against England every day of the week.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. Coming up on today's show, Munster see off the Ospreys and the Warriors are on the horizon. Who better to talk through it than two Munster legends, Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. Guys, how are you?
Good, Rory. Not too bad now.
Quinny, how are you, boy?
I'm grand. I'm good. Yeah. An important win at the weekend. I think lots of debate about the atmosphere and the intensity and all that kind of stuff. But I did the commentary for it, so it was the 10th win in a row, and that's the most important thing: getting through quarter final and looking forward to the weekend. But a couple of weeks left, 2 big weekends. Hopefully, and see what happens. Glasgow will be very dangerous on Saturday night for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to that game on Saturday night in Thomond Park in what should be an absolute cracker. We'll get into that in a little bit on the Red 78. First, though, a few comments reaching us, Fiona, on the show. And people aren't too happy with the way Munster played and maybe saying that they weren't at their best last Friday night.
Yeah, I think that was the majority of comments that came in. So thanks, everyone, for contributing. And obviously, we'll read out as many as we can. But definitely, that was the tone. Had O'Connell playing poorly of late, but getting the results, a sign of champions. I don't care how we play for the next couple of weeks, as long as we win and we can worry about the performance later. A big rivalry against Glasgow to come. It'll be a hell of a battle, all about physicality. Ger Dundon has, if Stormers had a kicker, it could have been a different story. Glasgow hate Munster more than any other team in the league. We need our A game and to be much better making carries from the breakdown to get the team moving and running onto the ball. It'll be very feisty and home advantage is huge. Dahi said, take your points, win the game. That was job done. Same again Saturday, please, in front of hopefully a sold-out Thomond Park. Glasgow will be incredibly tough, so we'll need the best support possible to lift the team. Niamh Barron-Marks, I think they will need to score more tries against Glasgow. Take your points, yes, but may have to take a few more risks. Brian Fitzgerald, get out of the Glasgow game with a win and no injuries, and hopefully they will have form. And I suppose last one, Patrick Hogan says, we played a very intelligent game last weekend, took our points, once happy to be ahead, we made the changes to rest some players and play the game in the right areas. Glasgow will be tougher than I expect Munster, but I expect Munster to up their game too. Looking forward to another great night in Thomond Park.
Yeah, plenty to dig through there. Quinny, was it a case that Munster were subpar or was it just a case of getting the job done?
A bit of both, I think. It's tricky when you're in that situation. You're expected to win by a lot. You've been on a good run, maybe a little bit of, we spoke about a little bit of mental fatigue, physical fatigue. I know they've had breaks throughout this run. It's 10 wins in a row. We're not kind of, the previous 9 were in the league and 8 of them were bonus point wins. So this one was a little bit different mentally. I think Friday night isn't the best night for games in Thomond Park. That's well renowned back to even when I was playing. It's difficult for people from Kerry, Cork, Waterford, Clare, to get into the city for, you know, on a Friday evening with people working and all that kind of stuff. And if you're, you know, I'm sure plenty of people did get in their cars and travel, but it kind of hampers the crowd numbers a little bit, with traffic and work and all that kind of stuff. And then there's an expectation that they'll get through, and some people maybe, you know, played in a little bit to the atmosphere as well, that expectation. And it was a little bit flat, the atmosphere, to be honest. And I thought Munster started the game really well, and exactly what you want to do. Zeebo's try early on, superb. I know they conceded one from Keelan Giles, which was a speculative kick over the defensive line. It bounced brilliantly. Switch play from Morgan Morris and Giles, or a pass from Morgan Morris. Owen Watkins switched it with him, and they got a brilliant try. They're back in the game. They get a little bit of confidence from that. I thought Munster played really well for the first 20, 25 minutes, and they had that bit of zip, and they were getting lots of space and in the wider channels as well. And winning collisions, I thought their breakdown was really good, given, you know, you've Justin Tibrick and Jack Morgan in the back row, who are excellent poachers of the ball. So a lot of good stuff early on. And I think, you know, when you're a player out in the field like that, and it's just, there's something a little bit missing, and it's really difficult how you know, the emotional pitch and the desperation sometimes that you need, it's just missing a little bit, that energy and stuff. And it's not out of lack of effort for players or anything like that, but it's just a little bit different. So I thought the approach after halftime was a sensible one. It was all about territory. You know, Munster had 63% territory in the game, which indicates they're keeping the Ospreys away from their defensive line a lot. The Ospreys had that sustained pressure just before halftime, where they had a number of couple of lineouts. It came probably from a bit of ill discipline from Munster at times, and they were giving away penalties. Gave the Ospreys a chance to get into that 22, and they very nearly scored. Not on a couple of occasions, but definitely once. But Munster defended really aggressively there, and they showed a lot of fight to keep the line intact. That was a really important part of it, because I kept saying in commentary, you know, Ospreys get another score, they're back in it. You know, Niall Scannell got that try after 17 minutes, which gave him a bit of breathing space. 14-7, then a penalty, 17-7. So the Ospreys, if they score there before half time, they're back into it. They get, you know, a bit of a feel good factor. And I think what was important is Munster never gave them that space to breathe and express themselves and hold on to the ball for too long. So it was very strange. Like, you can look at some of the stats, the tackles. I know Ospreys had more, 155, and Munster 128, but it was very stop-start. So there was a lot of two, three phases. Someone had kick it or knock on, scrum. You know, it stopped a lot. But I felt, even in the balance of it afterwards, that Munster, they controlled the tempo of the game really intelligently, and they didn't really have to go into fourth or fifth gear any stage. So I know they tried at times, and Ospreys defended really well in that second half, their line speed and their player identification, getting players right across the field. Munster missed 7 tackles in the game, Ospreys 10, which is a very low count for both sides. So, yeah, it was that kind of a game. It was a little bit flat, but overall, you know, you get the feeling after the game that, oh, you know, Munster need to be better. But it was just one of those games, and I played in them, where you just need to be efficient in what you're doing. You need to stay switched on and just get the job done. And at no point in the game were Munster kind of under any sort of severe pressure, bar that 5-10 minute period just before half time, which it's understandable. You're not going to go through a game without. But other than that, they never really troubled Munster. And, you know, credit to the Ospreys, they're a dangerous side and they have some very good players. But they were the ones who were kind of really hanging on and fighting for dear life. And to be fair to them, they never gave up. So they didn't make it easy. Their defensive tackles and their pressure and counter-rucking and all that stuff. Bit of a dogfight, but it is time Munster need to change gears now, and we'll talk about the Glasgow game. But I thought, look, you know, sometimes we all have this expectation, and you'd love as a player to be sitting in a dressing room after. Fiona will tell you as a coach, you'd love to get this perfect performance. I listened to Jake White's interview after the Benetton Bulls, the Bulls-Benetton game, where they only won by 7 points. And it was probably a theme of the four quarterfinals. They were nervy, cagey affairs where teams, different mindset, because there's no bonus points on board here. It isn't about points difference, all that kind of stuff. It's about getting a result. And it does change a little bit. You have a bit of a readjustment there. And that's why Jack Crowley was kicking penalties, kicked those two penalties in the second half. I know he missed one as well. It was a long range one. I thought that one was a little bit far out to be going for it. But, you know, they kicked quite shrewdly and put the ball in behind the Ospreys a lot of the time. So, you know, overall, it was a job well done. But themselves as players, you know, they're sitting there afterwards, and that's what they're focusing on, the positives. Not, you know, as I said, you know, I think Jake White, the Bulls coach, described it as, you know, I'd love to, after 30 minutes, be able to have a pie and a Coke and relax and sit back a little bit. In other words, he'd love if the narrative was the Bulls had beat Benetton quite comfortably. Mm. You know, they put 60 points in them there a few weeks ago in the league game. But that wasn't the case, and it was nervy. And that can happen in knockout rugby. So there was a bit of that on Friday night. But overall, I thought it was efficient. I was really pleased with the way Munster adapted and got their scrum sorted, because remember the game in at the end of March over in the Liberty Stadium, they caused Munster awful problems in the scrum. Nicky Smith and Tom Botha were destructive that night at scrum time. So little worrying sign early on the scrums, but they sorted it out. And then the players that came on, John Ryan and Jaeger and Dermot Byrne, you know, they got the upper hand and started winning penalties for Munster. So they managed the game quite well, given you know, the low key kind of atmosphere and maybe that bit of intensity from the crowd as well. So they needed better next week. You know, that's the common theme there from what Fiona's saying in the comments, that you know, I don't think, and I think it will come. It will be better, and you will see more of a zip and an energy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep it going over a long period like that. And I always talk about the emotional pitch, having players up for it, being aggressive, having an edge. You know, there's a serious rivalry between Munster and Glasgow. They've always been niggly games over the last 10 years, and you know, this is a team that's coming that will have a point to prove. The last time they were in Thomond Park last season, I think they were 28-0 up at half-time. They had 4 tries scored. Yeah. They kind of humiliated Munster at that period. Munster fought back in the second half. So they'll really fancy it. And I think the atmosphere will be different this week. Do Munster need to get better? Yes, they do. They need to probably identify space more, kick better. They lost their way with their shape on a number of occasions in the game. If Nangiville comes back in there, he's obviously a big boost, because he's a creative kind of passer and he runs really good lines. So, yeah, I think they'll know themselves. They need to be better this week, and hopefully they will be. But overall, it's a job well done. It's 23-7. I wouldn't go down the road of being critical of... Oh God, they need to be, you know, they need to be a lot better, and they need to be scoring 40 points. They need to just get a win. That's it. Like I said, you'd love if they got this 3 or 4 tries and 30-point win. But it was never a point, Rory, that it was, oh God. You know, I thought at 17-7, if the Ospreys score, yes, they're back at the game. But once Jack Crowley kicks the 2 penalties, you think it's game over. And I thought Munster managed the tempo and the territory really well. They didn't allow the Ospreys out. So it's a long synopsis for me, but, you know, the stats would indicate it wasn't this free-flowing game. You know, Munster had 10 defenders beat and Ospreys had 7. So they actually didn't have a lot of time and space And both sides kind of cancelled each out a bit, other out a bit defensively. So, job well done, in my opinion.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
I think, Fiona, when you come into a game like this, you've won 9 games in a row, you've won 8 of those at bonus points. You kind of expect that to continue into knockout rugby, but this is knockout rugby. It's all about getting the win. And as Quinny said, it was an efficient performance. It wasn't a flashy performance. It was an efficient performance from Munster.
Yeah, and I think that word is spot on, efficiency. I thought how they played, how they controlled. Even at the start of the game, Rory, you could see the crowd got a bit excited. They got a penalty. They said, we're going to go down the line. They went down the line. Obviously, it didn't work out for them. They didn't get that shape in their maul. I think there was another one as well where it went over the top. So the decision-making around changing that around and saying, right, we need to get a couple of points on the board and deciding, let's go for post. I mean, that's what you wanted to see, that kind of game awareness, the mentality to do that in knockout rugby, and they showed that. I thought the defence was very good at times. Ospreys, yes, they were there. It's going to be a different ball game against Glasgow next week, but as Quinny said, if you look at the previous week, you knew they had Jack Morgan, they Tipperick, they had Poachers, and I suppose Munster's breakdown the week before probably wasn't as good as we had seen at stages over the season. So even the ability to fix that in a week and really go and really protect those Poachers, they couldn't get a sniff of the ball against Munster. You know, they really looked after that ruck area at times. It was sloppy, but just in general, I think Munster had only maybe, I think it was one turnover conceded to Ospreys. Yeah, and the URC stats, I think it was one. And when I was at the game, there was a good kind of atmosphere. Wasn't crazy, but there was that kind of, when they were kicking the points, you just felt like, yes, we're going to get a job done here tonight and looking forward to having a semi-final at home. So I think it was that kind of vibe throughout the game. As Quinny said, there was no stage where you were saying things are really shaky here, they're not playing great. Their defence was still good. They were still holding them out. Their kicking game, Jack Crowley, much better territory kicking game. And they just basically said, we're doing our job, getting the points on the board, come at us, Ospreys. And they didn't really offer much, I suppose, in that. So Munster looked like they were comfortable for the majority of the game.
Yeah, I just want to ask you both about the crowd. Quinny, 14,072 at it, which is disappointing. As you mentioned, Friday night is a massive factor for that. Maybe there's this sense of expectancy from Munster fans that, look, they're going to win this game and keeping their powder dry for the semi-final. But as a player, how does that affect you when there's only like 14,000 there for such a big game?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be lying if I said it. You weren't conscious of it. It was always amazing to run out knowing that it was up 20,000 or more. And that, you know, the terraces were full and all that. It's a great feeling as a player, but it doesn't affect you. You still have a job to do. And, you know, I think you don't dwell on it because you're in that zone of getting the job done. And you know, you prep all week. You speak about what if we don't get our heads right here. You can't rely on the crowd. That was one thing we always spoke about. To win us matches or get us going, you've got to do that. We've got to drive it internally as a team, and the crowd help you then, particularly when you have moments of fatigue and you're tired and you're under pressure. It makes you get back up off the ground. You feel the energy from them. So, but it's understandable as well. You know, I think you had a Munster final, hurling final on Sunday. There's over 40,000 people jam-packed into Thurles. So a lot of the Limerick and Clare people who were in Thurles at the hurling Sunday, you know, in some ways, it's hurling season. Do you know what I mean? And it's they're embedded into that, and their mentality changes a little bit. So, you know, and the financial burden of trying to get both situations, go to both games and all that kind of stuff is different, particularly when you've kids and families, and it's just not feasible. So look, it's all played a part. I know there's more, you know, you're going to have more people. Hopefully there'll be up over 20,000 there this week. It's a semi-final. And dare I say it, if there was a final there the week after, you know, you'd expect a full house, particularly if our neighbours win in Pretoria and they're coming down the road. It'll certainly be a full house. There'll be a short, but who knows? You know, Glasgow could beat Munster, and Leinster could win in South Africa, and they could be playing in Croke Park, you know. So Croke Park was booked a while back. It might still be useful to keep that booking alive, because that's the way it could be. So, you know, asking me about it, and to add to that, like, the reality here is Munster, you can't rely on the crowd. The crowd are great and they help. For various different reasons. Friday night is a different kettle of fish, and that's just a reality. It seems like an excuse. I suppose the financial situation and the economic situation of people and probably you know, kids and families and other commitments on Friday evening, it's just difficult. So you know, we were talking about a bit of a call to arms to get out and support them this week. It's the same again. Hopefully people can get out there and support them on Saturday, because they will need it. This is a different level now. Glasgow won 6 games in the bounce before they lost their 2 in South Africa. And the first one against the Bulls, they caused them all sorts of problems. Could have won that, I think. And then various different things happened against the Lions, where they just looked out on their feet, and the altitude probably played a part as well. So they were in an incredible run up to that point, and they'd only lost 3 games before that. So lost their way a little bit after that South African trip, but they're a seriously dangerous side. You know, there's so many internationals there. And like I said, they'll really fancy going to Thomond Park and believe they can win there. So the crowd will play a part. But Munster will speak about that during the week, the threats and dangers, but try and improve their own game and get... I think the word intensity gets thrown around a little bit. I've been accused of using that word a lot, intensity. But the intensity needs to increase this week. That fight, that aggression, that edge. And that's what will hopefully lay down the foundation to enable Munster to try and get a performance together. It's not about silky skills. They've got a front up. They're going to play a very aggressive physical pack on Saturday night, and it's a different level. So hopefully the crowd gets psyched up as well, and that there is a big crowd there on Saturday night, because they'll certainly need him this week.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we name our star of the week and we look ahead to this weekend's massive semi-final, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,